राधा माधव कुंज विहारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी Kunjavi Ha Hinjai Gopi Janavallava Girivar Tahari Gopi Jisur Nandan Rajajan Hanjan Hayat Rajajan Ram Jisur Nandan Rajajan Hanjanaya Jamuna Tira Havana Tahariyamuna Jamuna Tira Havana Tahariyamuna Tira Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Vihari Jai Gopi Janavallava Girivar Tahari Gopi Janavallava Gopi Janavallava Jai Gopi Janavallava Girivar Jammuna Tira Havana Tahariyam Jammuna Tira Havana Tahariyam Jai Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Om Hare Om Ram Ram Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Om, Hare Om, Om Om, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Nitai Gaur, Ram Ram, Nitai Gaur, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Nitai Gaur, Hari Bhav, Nitai Gaur, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Jai Kishore Kishore, Kishore Kishore, Kishore Kishore, Jai Kishore Kishore. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Balabhe Jai Subhadra, Hare Nam Jagannatha, Balabhe Nithai Gaur, Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav, Nithai Gaur, Hare Bhav, Hare Bhav, Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahans Parivajaka Charja Astotra Satra Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON founder, Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is Canto 7, Chapter Number 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, and this is verse number 32. And this and the previous two verses are spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Naisambhatasthava urukram mangrim. Sprit satanartha pagamo yat artaha. Mahiyamsa para rajo bisekam. Niskanchananam navrinhitte yadvat. Na sammatisthavad urukram mangrim. Sprishtatyanartha pagamo yat artaha. Mahiyayam sampara raju bisekam. Niskinchananam navrinita yadvat. Nai sammatisthavad urukraman grim. Sprisat yata tapagamo yad artaha. Mahiyasam paro rajo visekam. Niskinchananam navrinita yadvat. Tistam Taru Kraman Krim Ladies, not a sum of these, mati, the consciousness, tadvat, that long, uru krama angrim, the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is famous for performing uncommon activities. Prasati, does touch, anartha, of unwanted things, apagama, the disappearance, yat, of which, artha, the purpose, mahiyasam, of the great souls, the mahatmas, or devotees, padaraja, the dust of the lotus feet. Abhishekam, consecration. Niskinchananam, of devotees who have nothing to do with this material world. na not vrnita may accept yadvat as long as. So this verse and the previous two verses are a series of three verses spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj to his father Hiranyakasipu after Hiranyakasipu has asked him in an incredulous way, where have you got this knowledge? And then he finally explains how to get it. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined to a materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Purport. Becoming Krishna consciousness brings about anartha apagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions that we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one of these unwanted miseries, but persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantriyam Urudami Badam, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. That education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation and unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishads 3.2.3, it is said, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na media na bahunena strutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education. One cannot become simply realized by presenting lectures in an erudite way, pravachanena labhya, or being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and has taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. I'll read that again. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get rid of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious, very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahatma. A Mahatma, one whose interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:13, Mahatmanas tumam partaha daivi prakritin asritaha bhajantyanayo manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine energy. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yasya yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchinat survai gunastatra samastate sudaha. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all good qualities of Krishna and of the demigods. 5.18.12 Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasaita katata yarta prakasanatma mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. From the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23 Yam evaisase srinuta tena labdhyas tasyaita atma visrinuti tanu shvam. The Lord is obtained only by one who he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. Mundaka Upanishads. That's from this. We read the first part of that verse in the early part of the purport, and now here's the second part. These are Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of a niskinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from all material contaminations. This is the way to return home, back to Godhead. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Didanti Swam Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gauda Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So Prahlad Maharaj, self-realized soul, five-year-old boy. His father is asking him, he's incredulous, how did you get such knowledge? First he accuses his teachers of teaching, but then he's convinced by the words of the teachers that it's not coming from them. Prahlad is explaining this knowledge cannot be acquired simply by study, by your efforts, the efforts of others, and a combination of so many people making an effort. This knowledge is not available in any kind of materialistic endeavor. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj will now explain how one needs this knowledge in order to get out of the material energy, or how to get out of suffering. Knowledge is vision. Knowledge is light. Those who have knowledge actually have what we say proper direction in life. Education that is not geared to the goal of life simply entangles one more and more in activities which are based on a struggle which continues life after life. Here, Prabhupada makes the point, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that material education simply increases one's suffering. You might think, well, if I get an education, I get a good position, I got some, security, I got some, stability. But here, the opposite is mentioned, that stability and security is a false term because it simply causes one to struggle harder and harder to maintain it and to perpetuate it. So materialistic education is more like the glare of a, let's see what we could, might use the example. You see a shellfish, the shell itself, when it light hits it, it actually looks like silver. It's glaring very nicely. And some people actually mistaken it for be silver itself, but it's simply the shell under a certain light. So material life is more like a glare of the actual reality, and therefore one simply looks at the glare and thinks the glare is the reality. What is that glare? That glare is that what one tries for in anything in material life causes one to become entangled by that activity. You see, people who are rich, the money controls them, And they think that their money is actually giving them, or those who use are rich and use their wealth for their own sense gratification, become entangled by that same thing that they're trying to enjoy. Money can be stolen by others. They can be subjected to many types of difficulties because they have money, false friends, and so many other positions in this material world that just keep one's consciousness away from the real goal of life and simply struggle harder and harder. That's all. So education is important. It's important to have knowledge. But what is that knowledge? That knowledge that frees oneself from the modes of material energy. Prahlad Maharaj mentions in a previous verse that the modes of material energy are like strong ropes. The word mode, in Sanskrit, the word mode is guna. And guna has two meanings. It means rope, and it also means that material aspect of that energy of the material energy, that aspect of the material energy that binds one in a certain consciousness or a certain set of activities. And so, therefore, the Sanskrit word is very, very instructive because rope is one that ties up. So as one is connected with anything in this material energy, they're tied up by that. They're bound up by that. And they're forced to think and act and get a particular reaction according to that thought, that activity, and that binds them more and more to material activities, life after life. And people suffer, and they know they're suffering. That's the most amazing thing. And they can't stop doing the same thing. It's like a person who has just taken some poison and he looks for a particular bottle to neutralize the poison, some medicine, picks up the same poison bottle. And that's mentioned in the Shastras, that one sees themselves suffering and others suffering and they continue in the same way. Why is that? Because they're caught up in this energy that they can't get out of. The energy makes them think in a certain way and forces them to act in a certain way, and the activities are always the same. And the modes of material nature, whether it's ignorance, which is the ultimate principle of illusion and suffering and degradation, passion, which goes on as a hard struggle to acquire material things and to enjoy these things, or goodness, to simply think that one can enjoy the finer things of life, and at the same time, not suffer like everyone else is. But the suffering, the material of goodness, is there also, because one has to leave that. And one cannot guarantee one can enjoy the mode of goodness, because it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that the modes are always in competition for one another. So one may go into the mode of goodness, but then it's overcome by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So there's a hard struggle, even within the modes, for, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, for supremacy. So even being a nice person in this material world, you got to suffer. You're charitable, you're friendly, you think about the good, you know, about others and try to help them in different ways. But still, you have to suffer. You still have to die. You still have to get disease. You still have to get old age. And you have to be disappointed in your activities. And whatever you acquire, you lose. And it's all based on one misconception. It's mentioned here. The body. The body is the source of all suffering. So you might say, wow, what am I supposed to do? I got a body. Yes, you do. Prabhupada says, have a body is like a bad bargain. He mentions it over and over again. It's like you go shopping and you buy the wrong thing and you can't return it. So what do? You got it, you're stuck with it. You have some use for it. Okay, so the body, if it's used in the right way, it's the cause of liberation, and used for material activities, it's the cause of bondage, the same body. And as soon as the living entity comes in contact with the body, one thinks the body is me. And this is what we say, the essential principle of illusion. Janasa moham yam aham mameti. The illusion of I and mine. And everything else that's connected with the, just like when you do a mathematical problem, you make a mistake in basic arithmetic in the very beginning. And it may be a very complex or complicated equation of algebra or trigonometry or calculus. Everything else is going to be wrong because the basic mistake is there. So when the basic mistake of material life is to think I'm this body and this is the source of my happiness. Shastras say the body is the source of your suffering. Completely opposite. Amazing, huh? But we have a body. Therefore, what do? And therefore, the body is actually a product of material energy. So, material energy is under the control of Krishna. As long as the material energy works according to the will of Krishna, in desire of Krishna's plan for that energy. The spirit soul, the living entity, uses the material energy in the wrong way, or in a selfish way, or a self-centered way, then that same energy binds one more and more to suffering like that. So it's easy. Prabhupada explains it very nicely. He says that, you know, liberation and bondage. What is it? It's just a conception. We are under this conception that I'm this body. As soon as we get rid of that conception and use whatever abilities, talents, intelligence for the service of the Lord, the body changes. It becomes gradually and gradually, as you put something in the fire, it no longer has the same quality. Using the example of metal, when you put metal over the fire, you leave it there long enough, what happens? Of course, if you leave it there really long, it becomes just like fire. So when the body is used in the devotional service of the Lord, when we speak of body, we also speak of mind. When it's used in the service of the Lord, it becomes transcendental. It becomes spiritualized. It no longer has the same material qualities and doesn't get the reactions of those who have material bodies and are using those same bodies for their own sense gratification. It's simply redirecting our energy. But it's not so easy. So, how to do that? Prahlad Maharaj gives the formula here. He's chastising his father. He loves his father. His father is his, as a son, he has all good qualities. He's a Vaishnava. He has no enmity, anger, and against anyone, especially his father. Although his father is the greatest demon and is causing so many people difficulties and suffering, still he has affection for his father. So he's trying to instruct his father, but he's telling his father in a very direct way that you think you're okay, but you're suffering. You're a fool. He's basically told him you're a fool because you think you are actually enjoying. But I can see you're suffering. We see that even with materialistic people, they can present themselves very nicely, but inside their hearts and mind they're struggling. They're struggling because material energy is called, it's, what's he say, you can't determine how the material energy will work. Nobody knows. Right, we're driving here, right? We're just driving from Tingley Park to here. I mean, the traffic is really heavy. It's really, really heavy. So, you know, so many times it looks like you're going to have an accident or come close to having an accident. You just don't know. Is that the guy next to you, can he really drive? So devotees are just saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. At least I was, anyway. All the way here, just chanting our rounds. The traffic is wild. And you don't know, just the way the material, but devotees know if they take shelter of Krishna, Krishna protects. But a materialistic person has no shelter except his own intelligence. And therefore he depends on that which is faulty. So you can understand the mind of a materialistic person. They don't know what's next. Although they may seem like they do, They always have this fear aspect, the sense of uncertainty in everything they do. They develop some false confidence sometimes to cover over this idea of not knowing. They develop this false confidence. But that false confidence just leads them in the wrong direction. It's a hard struggle for existence. You know, driving on the highway, you see the signs. Last night, I saw this sign, 528 traffic deaths in Illinois just 7 months into the year. Wow. People are driving, they're going on vacation, they're going to work, or they're just driving. Boom. It's all over. Finished. Material energy. You don't know how it works. It's very powerful. And it's Krishna's direct energy. So therefore, how to get out of that? Well, that's the dangerous part of the material energy. The other aspect, material energy has this smiling face too. The allurements of niceties in this energy. To attract the conditioned soul to think here is enjoyment. Here's this beautiful girl. Here's this handsome man. Here is this nice thing to eat. Here is this place to go. Here is this nice material object to buy and to enjoy, right? And work hard for it. And then when you get it, you're trying to enjoy it. And because material energy is always changing, you can't enjoy it. So you try from one thing, you go to another thing trying to enjoy. And so the sweet side is just as miserable as the other side. Because the miserable side, everyone can see it. But the sweet side, you can't see the misery that comes with that sweet side. And it comes. Because material energy, it's the nature of this material energy, it's dualistic. If you accept material happiness, you must accept material suffering. You can't get one without the other. It's just the way this energy works. If you want only happiness, you have to go to Brahma Sokyam, spiritual happiness, where there's no duality. But on this level, everything is dualistic. This is the world of, opposites. Wherever there's good, there's bad, cold, heat, honor, dishonor. It's the world. One thing complements the other. But it's the same face that presents itself in a mirror in two different ways. The smiling face and the miserable face. But both have the same result. They entangle one to them. So to try to get out of, and this is Prabhupada's point here, and the point he's making is over, that people have great education, they have great abilities. Prabhupada said scientists can even do many wonderful things by material calculations. They have many, what we say, outstanding qualities and expertise. You look at the technology nowadays. It's amazing what technology can do. And what we have as far as what is available in our day-to-day shopping world is about 30 years behind what the government uses. They have much more advanced technology. That stuff's not released to the common people. It's quite amazing. But still, so much struggle, so much suffering, so much disappointment, so many conflicts. Why? Because they haven't understood the goal of life. You meet people, great education, fine qualities, at least externally. They present themselves very nice. But you can see, you spend some time with them, you understand, they're not happy. Why? Because they haven't found the essence of life. Therefore, Prabhupada wants to make this point. Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing that no matter what your so-called good qualities, intelligence, it simply keeps you bound up in this cycle of birth and death, suffering life after life. So where's the formula for getting out? One has to come to devotional service. And one has to take shelter of that person who is free from all material modes of nature and who has realized the Supreme. That's the beginning. Here it's mentioned that, but then when one does that, one has to, now this part here, rubbing the dust or bathing in the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. You know, pada reina. Renu means dust. It's not mentioned in this one, but in another place, the word dust is the word renu. When you rub the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, all over your body, then you can be freed from the material energy. What does that mean? What does that mean? You grab his feet and you just scrape the dust off and you just put it all over your body. You can do that. It'll work too. It's actually very beneficial. That also works. But if you only do that and don't do the rest, what is the rest? One has to be absorbed in the instructions of the spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj, or Prabhupada, in this particular verse, Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir, Yata Devi Tata Guru, Tasyaita Katatar Yarta Prakasanatma Mahatmaha. One who has that kind of faith in Krishna's representative, that faith that is unbroken in any circumstance, and faith is always being tested. This is the amazing thing. One sometimes depends on material arrangements or material, how things go materially to develop our faith. But if you do that, you'll be tricked. One has to have faith in the words of the spiritual master. When one has that faith and one is absorbed in carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master, that is bathing in the dust of the lotus feet. And one also has to, as Rupa Goswami mentions, the different stages of approaching the lotus feet of the Lord starts with taking shelter. Taking shelter means that actually I want to be Krishna conscious. My goal in life is to become Krishna conscious. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of living a life with uncertainty and disappointment. Now let me find that happiness that everyone is looking for. It's here. It's at the lotus feet of the Lord. So now, the first thing is I want to become Krishna conscious. Then one works under the guidance of the spiritual master, takes shelter of the instructions, carries out the instructions, and is willing to do whatever is necessary. One devotee was just telling me the other day that their spiritual master wanted a particular type of drinking vessel. He liked it very much. Now, so this devotee was thinking, I'm going to find it. But it was a very unique and rare type of vessel, which is not so easily found. And so this devotee, you know, went from store to store to store to store to store, couldn't find it. Found something that was similar, but the spiritual master wanted this specific type. So he kept going, and it took him the whole day. And finally, it was getting late at night, and he was about to give up, and he was saying, my dear Lord, please give me some direction where I can find this thing. I want to please my spiritual master. He just happened to walk by a store and saw it in the window. In other words, he had such determination that I'm not going to fail, because this is what my spiritual master wants. I want to please him. It may be difficult. It may even seem to be impossible. But it doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada taught us that this is the success in spiritual life. When one is willing to accept any kind of difficulties to execute the orders of the spiritual master. Just to live in an ashram with so many other persons who never met before, right? You come together, all of a sudden, sometimes you have personality clashes, sometimes you have so many other things. Now you have to live in an environment where, you know, all you're sharing. But what is, so therefore you do it. Why? Because there's a higher goal. And this is the instructions of the spiritual master. You make that sacrifice, and you make the arrangements to make that sacrifice workable. So this is the consciousness of a Vaishnava or a devotee. He's willing to accept any difficulties in order to carry out this. And Prabhupada said, my success in spreading Krishna consciousness was based on one verse that was given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vyavyasatmika budhir ekeha kuranandana bahusakya yanatascha budeo vyavyasahinam. This verse is spoken by Krishna in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One who is resolute in purpose, whose aim is one, can actually achieve success. Those whose minds are irresolute, many-branched, if one has many goals in life, then our consciousness is in different places. Make your goal one. What is that? I want to achieve perfection in life. Everything else follows. The many branches become one branch when one focuses on that one branch that connects all the other branches. And what is that one branch? The instructions of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given an explanation on this verse. And what does he say? It doesn't matter whether it's easy or difficult. It's the instruction. Difficult and easy doesn't really... You know, for a devotee who is actually serious on the practice of Krishna consciousness, they like difficulties. Isn't that amazing? People in the material world are always trying to avoid difficulties. They want easy life, but yet they accept something that is completely opposite and have to struggle. When a devotee... The devotee doesn't have to look for difficulties. They'll come. It's just the way life is. It's arranged by the material energy, or either directly with Krishna or indirectly with the material energy. But one accepts these things as opportunities for advancement. And by applying the instructions of the spiritual master in every case, one has the vision, the light, the understanding to move forward. Like that. And what is that moving forward? We become free from material suffering. Like that. Nobody wants to suffer. Material body means suffering. There's no doubt about it. But one can transcend even the suffering of the material body when the body becomes engaged fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's consciousness is no longer in the material energy anymore. One is absorbed in the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's the art of bhakti. Bhakti is like an art. How to use the instructions of the spiritual master and to apply it in various situations. It's a science. The science is understood in two ways. Through practice and through working with those who know the science. The association of devotees who actually know the art of bhakti inspires us in our own practice and also gives us the understanding how to apply the knowledge we receive from the spiritual master. So this is a great art, but everything is based on the instruction. And when the spiritual master sees, witnesses, observes his aspiring disciple, or his disciple doing that, he blesses him. What is that blessing? He says, my dear Lord, give that person your mercy. And when the Lord gives that, when the Lord gives the mercy, then all desires become automatically fulfilled. Like that. So pleasing the spiritual master is simply easy. Making the instructions of the spiritual master. But Maya is so strong. And Maya is always dictating something a little bit different. What is that? That our independent nature has the tendency to want to take the instructions and add some of our own ideas to it. If those ideas are not in connection with the goal that these instructions are given for, then ashrama evihi kevalam, a useless waste of time. So therefore, a devotee knows or understands, the more I can understand the instructions of the spiritual and how to carry it out. It's not easy. I'm making it sound really philosophically easy. It's not easy. Prabhupada uses the example of him in his own self. Just like in applying the principles of spiritual life, you might find various types of situations that differ. And one situation may differ to another. And Prabhupada was asked, and this was in 1972, that you came to the West and you allowed women to come into the temple. This was never done before. You gave women brahminical initiation. You gave them full equal opportunities with their male counterparts to perform devotional service. The Vedic culture, we see women weren't pretty much giving, were allowed to practice devotional service, but basically within their homes, not within the temples. Like that. Prabhupada, how were you able to do that? Prabhupada said, I became successful because of that. He said, I became successful because of that. Because those who, I understood the culture of the West. And I understood to give that equal opportunity would make it successful in my endeavors to pray for both the men and the women. Whereas others were trying to, you know, create this false understanding, especially in Western society. But then Shruti Kirti Prabhu was the one who was asking Prabhupada. And then he said to Prabhupada, okay, Prabhupada, you changed, but how do we know when we have to change a principle? This is a principle. How do we understand the difference between a principle and a detail? This is a pretty amazing. Prabhupada says that requires intelligence. So how to apply the instructions of the spiritual master in each and every situation requires intelligence. And when Prabhupada was asked by, or not asked, when someone asked, said to Prabhupada, I don't have any intelligence. Prabhupada said, then get some. What did he mean by that? The instructions of the spiritual master is the basis of intelligence, and applying them through what we say, the association of others who are performing the same activities gives the desired result, like that. So everything starts with complete faith and complete submission to the instructions of the spiritual. The instructions of the spiritual master are the instructions of Krishna. There's no difference. There's no difference. So when we get an instruction, we should try to understand how to apply the instruction like that. Getting the instruction is one. How to apply the instruction, that requires sometimes questioning and some intelligence like that. How best to apply it like that. So Prahlad Maharaj is giving us the understanding. His father can't understand anything. He's absorbed in material life. He thinks he's the supreme. He's got so much power. He's got so much influence. But he is, what we say, suffering. And his son, Prahlad, who's a pure devotee of the Lord, a devotee of the Lord can see the material energy and understand just how it's working. One who's in it cannot see it. Just like if you're in a forest, you can't see how many trees are in the forest. You may see a few trees around you, and you may also guess how many trees. But if you go above the forest, you can see. In the same way, one who is on the transcendental platform can see how the material energy is working and how it's entangling the conditioned souls more and more. Just like yesterday, I was just thinking when I got back, one of the greatest illusions of Maya is summertime. Summertime. You can go biking, you can go swimming, you can go skating, you can go running. What else can you do? So many things, right? It's tennis, you can take your clothes off, you can become a full-fledged streaker. I don't know, that was way back years ago. In other words, you know, if you take your clothes off now, it's not so cold, so you don't freeze. So that's the whole point. The point is that this idea of nicety, which comes with the summer months, just gives a greater illusion to the idea of the material energy like that. I mean, when it's cold and suffering, you can't travel so much, and you know, you have to wear clothes all the time, you have to pay the heating bills, and you know, things are not right. It's the winter time's more of a struggle to me, and people can understand, but the idea of summertime, the illusion is gradually increased like that. But it's the same thing, like that. One has to understand. There was one devotee in our Krishna consciousness. Nice devotee, wonderful devotee. And this was when I was in New Vrindavan back in the early days. And this devotee would come in the warm weather and leave in the cold weather and come back the next year. And he would do this every year. So we gave him the name Summerswara. Summerswara. Like that. So it doesn't work like that. Material energy is entangling one in no matter what way it presents itself. The illusion of happiness is greater than the illusion of suffering, because the illusion of suffering, one wants to get out of it, but happiness, one wants to increase it. But material happiness simply entangles one more and more in material life. That's why it says it's very hard to actually convince people who are what we say materially well-to-do. Why? Because they think they've achieved some success in life. Although inside, they're not happy, but at the same time, they've gotten with everyone else says is success, and therefore they believe that this is actually success, like that. But they suffer. A materialistic person is, his mind is always suffering, and for a devotee, usually our body is suffering. Devotees don't suffer in the mind. Our minds are happy. We're engaged in devotional service, but we sometimes struggle with the bodies, right? Does that sound okay? Is that an absolute principle? No? But a materialist, they may keep their bodies fit, you know, they get all kinds of steroids and nice things. They run, you know, we were just riding past Lake Michigan. So many people are out there running. I was thinking we ought to stop the car and ask them, why are you running? Prabhupada says, the scriptures say you get so many breaths in life. So when you run, you're increasing or decreasing the amount of breaths you have, you know, because you have to breathe more faster like that. Same with sex life, right? So remember that. So this is material life. It presents itself as something it's not. And ultimately, as Shakespeare said, there's the rub, death. And then death means rebirth. Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is giving us some really clear understanding that one cannot become Krishna conscious on their own, and unless one is Krishna conscious, they're struggling with the material energy. They're like a blind man and attached to their ways. You know, when a person who is blind and he's looking for somebody to help him, he gets another blind man and both fall into the ditch. So one cannot get out of material suffering simply by the same way one got in, by taking help from a person who is there. A drowning man cannot help him. So one has to take shelter of one who is outside of the material energy, who is engaged fully in the lotus feet of the Lord, and that is the pure spiritual master. One takes shelter of that, follows their instructions, becomes absorbed in their instructions, and it's just a matter of time before one becomes fully self-realized. What does self-realized mean? That there is nothing else to achieve. One has found everything. And what is that achievement? That one can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, not indirectly. And what is that association? We can't imagine what it means to associate with Krishna. But we're doing it every day through his holy name, through taking prasadam, through reading the philosophy. We're getting some taste. There's some happiness there, some upliftment. But that's just an emanation. Direct association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a very high form of spiritual attainment. But even when one becomes 70% Krishna conscious, one will be fully satisfied with that. 70%. That's not even complete. That's how powerful Krishna consciousness. One will, and as that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that one who is on that platform, there's no fear. He's understood there is nothing else to attain. He's completely fixed, self-satisfied. Doesn't look for happiness anywhere, finds it within himself, within the heart, because he's found Krishna within his heart. The process is simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Any questions, comments? Jai Baladev has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class, wonderful class. This verse, there's a reason why I remember a similar verse to this. I think it's in Canto 2, chapter 3, verse 23. It says, unless one smears the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee and say one's considered a dead body. And in that purport, Prabhupada makes and he quotes a verse from the fifth canto where he says the Paramahamsa stage of life cannot be obtained by austerities, Vedic worship practices, renounce order, but only by, of course, the devotee,
yeah.
Of course.
It's similar to this verse that was quoted here.
So my question is related to that verse in Adi Lila, chapter 8, Bahu Jama Kari Yadi Shravanam Kirtana Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Prima Dham. It says, even if one chants the Maha Mantra for, you know, many lifetimes even, one would not attain the ultimate goal, which is, you know, Krishna Prima, if one commits offenses. And so my question is that in relation to, you were mentioning that when we do take the dust of a pure devotee, get the mercy of a pure devotee, but at the same time, Our intelligence is very faulty, because sometimes we hear a lot that we should discriminate between various devotees. But sometimes, even if we do get the mercy of a pure devotee, right, but it kind of neutralizes it if we kind of discriminate in a sense, because our intelligence is very faulty.
It doesn't fully neutralize it, but it reduces it. Yeah.
Yeah, because from my personal experience, I growing up in Krishna consciousness, I would kind of, you know, discriminate in the sense that unless somebody was given electron Vyasa sign or Bhati Vrsha, whatever they had to say kind of wasn't, you know, important. And I felt like that was kind of neutralizing my Krishna consciousness. And then over the years when I would hear lectures of, you know, devotees, I was like, wow, they do know what they're talking about. And so it feels so. Can you elaborate on that point a little bit?
I missed the last part of your question. The last sentence, just.
I have Kali Yuga memory, so I don't really remember what I just said.
Okay, so we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, but we are not expert, so we make some faults, and therefore, due to the faults, we commit some offenses. And due to those offenses, it reduces our advancement in spiritual life. Well, there the Shastras mentioned that there's two aspects. It's called vidhis and nishedhas. Vidhis means things to do, nishedhas means things to avoid. So one has to learn both side by side. What are those things to avoid also? And be careful. If someone commits an accidental offense, that's not a problem. One just picks oneself up like that. It's when one becomes chronic in committing the same mistakes and offenses over again, and gradually we start to lose the mercy. So therefore, if we're hearing regularly, this is the important part. If you're hearing regularly, you'll always be aware two things. Two things will come by hearing. You'll start to understand what you need to remove, and you'll understand what you'll need to do. The process of hearing makes everything clear. That's why it's mentioned by the Shastras and by the Acharyas that the process of hearing must go on continuously. The words of the spiritual master in the form of his actual spoken word, the written word, or the words of those who are on the same platform, or repeating the words of the spiritual masters like that, or the words of Krishna. We have to be, if we're not hearing that, then we're hearing other things. And those other things will reduce the effects of our practice of Krishna consciousness. We need to be hearing regularly. If we're doing our service, and our service has to do with material energy, if we're doing it as a service to Krishna, that will not reduce our consciousness unless we don't take sufficient time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In other words, unless our sadhana becomes impaired or weak. But if we balance our sadhana with our service, we'll make nice advancement like that. So, but Prabhupada says, we're learning. So there's going to be some mistake. There's going to be some fall down. Just pick yourself up. There's no loss. If you stay down, you lose. Sometimes devotees, when they keep falling down, they get a little discouraged after a while, and they think, well, I can't do it, or I should give up, or I should try for a lesser position. And then we compromise, and then when we try for a lesser, we force ourselves to go to another lesser. One should aspire for the ideal, and even if you don't make it, there's no loss. But if you aspire for something less, fall downs are an opportunity to learn from our mistakes and to move forward like that. But the association of devotees makes everything clear. That's how important it is. Like that. So never get discouraged. Because, we've been in contact with the material energy for many lives. So to get rid of our attachments and our ways of thinking takes time. It takes time. It's not going to happen automatically. And you'll see. Each of you can see. Look back a year and see where you were a year ago. And where you are now. You've made advancement, no question. Next year, you'll look back to this year, you'll have more advancement. Like that. If you stay in the process, despite some difficulties, challenges, falls downs, offenses, just keep working to improve, that's all. See it as the school of life. You've entered into a university. What is that university? The university that gives the highest degree. Pure love of God. So now one has to go through the tests, study, do the homework. So life is actually an opportunity to, improve. We're always trying to improve. And so as soon as we try to enjoy material energy, we stop doing our homework. Can't enjoy material energy. It's not possible. Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasa. I'm the enjoyer. Material energy works under my direction. No one can enjoy the material energy. One can try. Material energy is Krishna's energy. It doesn't belong to the conditioned souls. We enjoy on the spiritual platform. We use the material energy in order to facilitate and fortify our life in this world. But it's not meant for enjoyment, and you can't enjoy it. And every time you try to enjoy it, you get some suffering along with it.
I asked my follow-up question related to the part of not being discouraged. So in my personal life, I wasn't never allowed to get discouraged because, of course, I was related to my brother. He wouldn't allow me to get very discouraged, drag me off.
It's your good fortune.
So that's the thing, fortune. And we see that a lot of people don't have that good fortune. They don't have a relative who's a devotee, and they become very discouraged, and then they go away.
Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha devagni nirvava sreya kaiva vichendri kavitaranam. Everyone has good fortune. Just have to awaken it. The holy name awakens your good fortune. If you chant the holy name, you'll start to see your good fortune. If you don't chant the holy name, or don't seriously chant the holy name, you won't be able to see the good fortune that's available. You won't be able to experience it either. The holy name, that's that verse, Chaito Dharpa, Shreya Kaiva Vrchendri Karano. It awakens one's good fortune. Shreya, good fortune. Okay. Everybody's good fortune may come in different forms, but everyone has good fortune. Why? Because everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You brought up a very interesting point at the end of your class on this principle of receiving instructions from the spiritual master, and how due to our mentality of independence, we have a tendency to sometimes accept half the instruction or partially the instruction. There's two things that I heard recently, and my question is related to these two points. Mother Urmila was giving a brahmachari class, and somebody asked her, what is the purpose of the brahmachari staying in the Gurukul for X amount of years? What is he supposed to get out of that training? And her answer was very interesting. She said, what he gets out of that training is he gets a sense of how his spiritual master will want him to live his life, so that when he leaves the ashram and goes out into the material world, and he has to make certain decisions involving with the material energy, he has a sense of how his spiritual master would want him to make those decisions. Another statement that Jai Janapur was quoting recently was by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that after, I don't remember exactly the words, is he still here? Oh, he's here. After 20 years of preaching, I have not met one sincere man, because they came and heard from me, and although they've heard from me, they reverted back to their own mind and intelligence. So it seems very an interesting point. What I really want to understand is, how does the spiritual master decide that my disciple's intelligence has now become subservient to my instructions? It seems like a very subtle thing, because many times in the name of independence, we may be doing something that seems very Krishna conscious, but it may not be under, it may be the result of our own intelligence, which may not be a bad thing either. You know, your intelligence might inspire you to, for example, chant more rounds for Ekadashi. And somebody might say, well, did your spiritual master instruct you to do that? And you might say, no. And then, you know, someone might say, well, then you're dis, you know. But it's obvious you should chant more on Ekadashi. You know what I'm saying? So how, this is a very interesting point. How does the intelligence become?
There's one answer. It takes some intelligence. Krishna consciousness helps to awaken your intelligence, where you can apply the intelligence in the day-to-day life. Without intelligence, intelligence is discrimination, intelligence is determination. These are two features of the intelligence. To have to be determined towards the goal, and to discriminate what is favorable and what is unfavorable, like that. So, yeah. One has to be intelligent. How do you get intelligence? Chant Hare Krishna. Read the books. Associate with people who are more advanced than you. Serve those persons. Your intelligence will increase like that. But there is another factor. It's called sincerity. If your intelligence is marred by a little bit of your own personal desires, you'll take the instructions of the spiritual master, and you'll choose and pick and choose which ones you want. And the ones that seem to be the ones that will suit you more, like that. But that's not going to work. Therefore, a devotee should always think, how best can I serve? Or what do I need to make spiritual advancement? A type of sincerity is required, and then you apply your intelligence like that. If we're insincere, then we simply have to associate with devotees who are sincere. Then that sincerity will increase. But without sincerity, even intelligence might direct you, you know, into a marginal type of thinking. As you mentioned, marginal. You're mentioning marginal right now. You know, well, I'll just choose whatever instruction that I like that. But, you know, a spiritual master, He has different ways of bringing his disciples, you know, forward. For some, he'll give the direct instructions, and others, he gives indirect instructions, which eventually leads them to the direct instructions, you know, like that. Makes it easier like that. Yeah. Did you understand the point?
I think so. Well, I'll have to think about it a little more.
Okay. But the point is that there is, you can, what is the, you know, what are the essential instructions and how to follow them? When it comes to our service, what service should we do? You know, then we have our service leaders, those who engage us in service. How to perform that service, that's also there. And if you want to do extra service, that's fine. But once you do the prescribed service. If you're living outside, one should accept some service as an offering to the spiritual master. If you're living in the temple, it becomes the service is given to you. Unless we see our own self-interest that is based on using our intelligence in the service of the Lord, we'll use our intelligence to somehow or other marginalize our activities. Yeah, I can come to the temple whenever I want. You know, we keep the independent mood and we just do some service every once in a while like that. That's nice. It's registered. You get something from it. But you're not surrendered. That's the point. You're not surrendered. Surrender means, my dear Lord, what do you want me to do? How best can I do what you ask me to do? I am your servant. There's two kinds of devotees. One will do what they want and offer it to Krishna, and one will do what Krishna wants and offer it to Krishna. Which one are you?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Here in the purport it says from Mundaka Upanishad, the Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. And at the same time we hear that we get Krishna by the mercy of our Guru. We hear that we get Krishna by the mercy of our spiritual master.
Yeah.
So would you please explain how these two go?
It's not that, you know, if the spiritual master recommends this person to Krishna, Krishna will accept. Prabhupada mentions it all the time, that the spiritual master is the mercy manifestation of Krishna. So if he's pleased and he recommends this to Krishna, Krishna will automatically reveal himself. He'll give him his mercy. But if you approach Krishna directly and try to please him that way, very difficult, practically impossible. So Krishna is choosing based on how that devotee is serving his spiritual master, or devotees in relationship to his spiritual master. Like that. Does that answer your question? Yeah, the spiritual master's there in that verse too. It's not like he's not there. Anything else? Any other questions? Kind of quiet today. Summer. Do you read? You read? Okay, ask a question based on what you read. You look like you read a lot. You do? So that's, hearing and reading is the same thing.
Yeah, so I don't have a whole lot of time for personal reading. Just a little bit of time.
Well, if you're hearing from someone who can teach you, then once you read, it becomes confirmed and realized like that. So what did you write down?
Basically, the knowledge that guides us comes from surrendering to the self-realized Mahatma. And that's the only way to understand the Absolute Krishna.
Yeah. And it's practical things. When we read, we should reread. Read means you go through it. Reread means you're trying to understand it. That's why you'll find spiritual knowledge is very repetitious. Sometimes the words change, but the points are the same. In order to help us to understand the points by giving the same knowledge in different ways. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned, everything you're looking for is in the first three cantos of Bhagavatam. The rest are just the same philosophy explained in different ways, through different leelas like that. So rereading is important, yes.
I have a question about enthusiasm and seeing the difficulties. You said seeing difficulties as the opportunity.
Yeah.
Being really enthusiastic, I find that...
Don't become discouraged by difficulties.
Yeah, I find sometimes it's difficult to be enthusiastic, but also be humble and be where you're at. If you get really enthusiastic, then you can just end up
Arjuna had a kill, and he was humble. So you don't mix up humility. Humility may look like some kind of meek and humble attitude, and that's nice, the external. But humility really means a condition of your consciousness. What is your consciousness? That I'm a servant, and I'm dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And I'm enthusiastic to serve despite the difficulties. A humble person may also express their demeanor as humility from the external point of view. And that's an indication of what's inside. But it's not always like that. That's not always like that. So you can be enthusiastic for Krishna as long as it's directed and your enthusiasm is not about yourself. It's about Krishna. I want to serve Krishna nicely, therefore I'm going to be enthusiastic like that.
It's mixed still.
It's still mixed, yeah.
So you still try to show as much enthusiasm as possible.
Becoming a devotee is like making a sculpture. You have to chisel away the parts you don't need. And you do that through the practice of devotional service. You make mistakes, you learn like that. Just don't offend anybody, that's all. Our enthusiasm doesn't mean everybody else get out of my way. That's not enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means how do I work with everyone else in a way to please the spiritual master like that. Rupa Goswami explains enthusiasm. He says to endeavor with intelligence. To make your effort in an intelligent way, that is enthusiasm. Not just the effort, but with intelligence. So therefore, to think how to execute the devotional service and be enthusiastic in that activity. I want to offer it. Like when I came and I sat down in this class this morning, I was thinking, I have no enthusiasm for this class. I wanted to give the class, I'm being honest, but I was thinking, what am I going to say? I can't think of anything to say. But I said, all right, well, I got him up here. I'm going to have to give a class. So I just looked at Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, you got to give this class because I can't. I can't give this class. And so I was praying to Prabhupada. And that's all. That's using your intelligence in the right way. We want to do something. Even if we don't have the enthusiasm to do it, what to speak of the ability to do it, it both comes from the spiritual master. That's where we get it from. What are we? We're nothing. We're nothing. We simply are receptacles for mercy. Therefore, as this verse says, rub the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master all over you. And then you become fully qualified and purified. Otherwise, what are we? We can, you know, we're always making mistakes, doing the wrong thing, spaced out, right? we got a material body, and we just, you know. But the spiritual master's mercy is Krishna's mercy. It's complete. It's full. What can we do? So prayer and seeing ourselves in a situation where we need the mercy. We're beggars. We're begging for that thing that can bring us closer to Krishna. Mercy. And so, and as you beg, you get the intelligence, you get the understanding, you get the enthusiasm, and as you apply it, the intelligence comes. You want intelligence to develop, apply whatever you know, and as you apply it, the intelligence increases automatically. Right, Jai Jagannath? Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah. As you apply whatever you know to the activities, the intelligence increases. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, a devotee takes the instructions and runs with it. A materialist will try to get all the, all the information, everything together first, and then he'll think, okay, now I got it all together and I'm going to go and do it. But devotee knows that I can never do that. All I can do is do my best and depend on the mercy of the Lord. That's all. And anything we do, not just, you know, one thing, but everything is like that. So be enthusiastic and your intelligence will also expand like that. I saw you in Kirtan the other day. You were really enthusiastic. You were leading the dancing. It was good. When I saw you dancing, I started to dance also. Hey, if you can inspire devotees to dance, that's a great service. It's wonderful. That means you're right. That's called Vaishnava Seva. It's also Krishna Seva because Krishna likes to see his devotees dance. So if you're inspiring others to dance, Krishna's really happy with you because you're making other devotees serve him by through the process of dancing. And so this is Krishna consciousness. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence, but it takes sincerity. That's all. Sincerity means, what do I have to do? That's all. Just tell me what to do, and guide me like that. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. The mic's off, I think, yeah.
By going through the whole process of devotional service, by the mercy of the Lord, you get some intelligence. But at the same time also, you are in your family life. There is some responsibility over there too, mm-hmm. Which may not allow you to fully contribute to the devotional service.
Well, your family life is also your responsibility. So you have that responsibility. Your first responsibility is to become Krishna conscious. Your family responsibility cannot be neglected, but it shouldn't take the place of your activities in Krishna consciousness. It should support it. So you have to arrange your family life in such a way that you can perform your activities in such a way that enhances your practice of Krishna consciousness. That means you bring your family with you in the best way you can. And if you can't, do whatever you can to maintain the family and responsibility and practice Krishna consciousness. It's an art.
Yeah, like, sometimes what I have seen that also, like when we do all little programs or Bhakti Vruksha, after several years also, the family members are like, because of the situations of the job hours and taking care of the kids, they don't able to get full time to do the all 16 rounds, and they're not moving up.
It's a common problem.
Right. So in that situation, it takes harder to advance together as a whole family.
Yeah.
So at that point, like, you know...
Get some advice from other grihasthas, how they're doing it. See those grihasthas who are successful, learn from them. We have our temple president. He's a grihastha. You can learn from him. How to balance both. And he's not only a temple president, he's not only a family man, but he has to manage a temple too. It's not that he just has to do his sadhana. He has to do that to maintain the family. And so you look for those who are successful at doing that and learn from them. They can also teach you through practical understanding. And then you present. Sometimes it requires just a little adjustment in whatever we're doing. Once we make a little adjustment, everything starts to become easy. So Krishna consciousness is both philosophical and practical. If you neglect the practical, you know, your philosophical will simply be, you know, theory. You've got to do both. Not like that. How to do it? You can learn from others, that's all.
And also, like, we ask a lot of questions. All the questions, answer are finally is... The final answer are the devotional service, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All the questions are, final answer is this, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
One of my God brothers, very senior, elevated devotee of the Lord, who is a very good friend of mine, he was giving darshans, and it was, in other words, people were coming to him for problems. And he's in charge of a big yatra, thousands of devotees. So he was he told me this personally. He said they were coming to me, I was trying to, you know, help them. Then I decided I'm going to speak on the holy name every class. And he said I did that for a year. Every class for a year. He made the topic of the holy name the main topic of the class. He said after a year, the problems went down. They reduced more than 50%. So, do you believe that?
No, I mean is that all questions answer are, final answer are coming up with the do the devotional service, serve the spiritual master, read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, chant the holy name. And still we have all the doubts are coming still.
Chanting the holy name is the process. Everything else you do supports your chanting of the holy name. So you can't neglect the other things because they're in support of the quality of your chanting. Because this holy name is a process. The process requires activities that need to be performed in relationship to chanting the holy names. But the essence is to chant the holy names. And as you purify your chanting, everything else becomes wonderful. So you work on both, but the main thing is you want to build a house, you've got to have a foundation. The house is as strong as the foundation. The foundation is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I mean, this morning I got up and I was thinking, oh God, I got to go for class. Huh. Nityananda Pran, I can't say no to him. So I was thinking, and I got up and I'm thinking, if I have to leave at the time I'm supposed to leave, that is to make it for darshan, I'll have 4 rounds chanted. That's all. And then the rest have to be car rounds. So I decided I'm going to chant 6 rounds instead of 4. So I took a little extra time and I was late. I came at 20 after, 25 after, instead of 7. But I'm glad I chanted those other 2 rounds, because I made, you know, my consciousness was, I'm going to put my heart into these 6 rounds, because that's all I'm going to get before I have to, you know, jump into the traffic. And I mean, I was chanting with everything I could possibly do to make those rounds the best possible rounds. Now, if I wasn't pressured by that time factor, I might have not had that same, enthusiasm. But it's good. It was good. So look to your... You want an answer? Here's the thing. You know, there's one guru in our movement. He asks all his disciples to chant 16 rounds before they do anything every day. If you can do that, you'll have no problems in spiritual life. Guaranteed. First thing you do, get up, whatever, you take care of your body, chant 16 rounds. Do that every day. Your spiritual life will be a whole different world. I guarantee. You may not be able to do it in the temple because of, you know, whatever services you have. But there, that is really a found. Why? Because the holy name clears your vision. And when you have the holy name there, you can actually understand how to do things throughout the day, because you're not doing it. The Holy Name is actually doing it through you. Really. The Holy Name's everything. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. It's Krishna in sound. It's the Yuga Dharma. Harir Nama, Harir Nama. Why did Lord Chaitanya quote this so often? No other way. No other way. No other way. And chanting the Holy. Why? Why did he make that such a priority? Because it is. It's everything is there in Krishna's name. But we perform the other activities in order to increase the quality of our chanting. If we neglect the other activities, which are the instructions of our spiritual master, and just chant the holy names, we won't be able to chant the holy names properly. So therefore, there's a healthy balance that needs to be applied. But the holy name's first. It's first. Make it first, and Krishna will always be there with you throughout the day, like that. I guarantee it. It's not that I know so much, but I can see when you make the holy name first, and the holy name makes you first. Our holy name is everything. But take care of your family too. And if you can teach them to chant the holy name, they'll do more and you can do less in taking care of the family. So if you can teach them, you'll be able to have, your responsibilities will be easier in family life, because you don't have to pull them, they're carrying their own. So bring the family into the chanting, and then family life becomes spiritual life. Yeah, there was another question? No? Okay, I think the question is, when is prasadam? Okay. Take his question? No, 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 no. I'm getting a no from the TP. His comment was that the first question he ever asked me
years ago was
when is Purushottam?
In Bhagavad Gita.
And the thing is, you're still here, so that's good. And there's still Purushottam. It's ever increasing. One cannot live by philosophy alone. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.